Welcome back to ILTA Voices, your home for all things ILTA.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast entitled Data Mapping and Why Every Firm Needs to Do It. I'm your moderator, Kate Hathaway, Innovation Project Manager at Greenberg Traurig. I am joined today by Paul Gadritis, CEO of Orgami. Paul, would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Kate, it's truly a pleasure to be here. For those listeners who don't know me, I'm Paul Gadritis, founder and CEO of Orgami. We describe Orgami as Moneyball for the business of law. We are an AI-powered client intelligence platform that uses machine learning and predictive analytics applied to law firm data sets about clients, matters, and people to help firms do a better job with revenue performance. So our insights help firms accelerate growth, improve client retention, and increase partner cross-selling and collaboration. So as such, the topic of data mapping in law firms is an exciting topic for us and one that is very near and dear to my heart. So thank you for having me here today.
We are thrilled to have you. So tell us, what exactly is data mapping? Why do we need it?
So data mapping really in its simplest form is essentially the process of creating a link between data elements across two distinct data models. So you can kind of think of it in its most basic sense is matching fields from one database to another database. But the process of data mapping ensures that when data is transferred from one system to another, it retains its meaning and remains very accurate and useful for end users. Now, for law firms, data mapping might involve upgrading from one vendor system to another. It might involve combining data systems together, might also involve powering use cases that support law firm operations from either a practice of law perspective, so think enterprise search and document generation for legal service delivery, as well as a business of law perspective. So think financial reporting, profitability analysis, or even client planning. Now, there's a few reasons why law firms need data mapping. One of them is, you know, I would call enhanced data accessibility and integrity. So firms actually deal with an enormous volume of data, ranging from large documents to case files to client records to billing information and so on. And data mapping facilitates retrieval of this data, the right data at the right moment for the right people. So it ensures that the partners, leaders, and attorneys have timely access to accurate information. We found in our work that going through a data mapping exercise actually can quickly reveal data quality problems that might otherwise go unnoticed, such as missing or incorrect data elements, poor choices of taxonomy, or just issues with how data gets collected. So this can help surface issues that can then be focused on and remedied. So that's one piece. The other piece is, you know, improved operational efficiency. So by kind of streamlining the flow of information, data mapping reduces redundancy and eliminates the need for manual data entry, which is very time consuming and error prone. So this allows firms to focus on core competencies that they're good at, like managing client relationships and delivering complex legal work versus administrative tasks like information gathering, right? So that's number two. Number three, you know, one reason that firms need data mapping in our view is it improves client service and satisfaction. So good data mapping contributes to a firm's competitive advantage actually. And we see this a lot in our work with Orgami. So data mapping helps firms maintain comprehensive up-to-date client profiles, which can be used to anticipate client needs, can be used to personalize service delivery, better understand trends in the client population, such as what factors might contribute to risk in client relationships, as well as across segments of the population. And then the fourth reason why firms need data mapping is kind of a compliance and risk management reason. So, you know, as we know, we all know in the legal industry, regulations are becoming increasingly stringent around data privacy and data security and client confidentiality. And in particular, given the kind of recent explosion of generative AI and large language models, there's been global ethical concerns about how data gets stored and curated. So this has created new needs for clear frameworks and how data is handled, stored, and analyzed. And so data mapping supports that process. In terms of ROI, so you mentioned, you know, the benefits, poorly mapped data can lead to lost revenues or lost dollars for firms in terms of hundreds of thousands of dollars, or even millions of dollars a year in terms of lost time and personnel resources, having to kind of reinvent the wheel and fix issues. Compliance problems can also lead to reputational damage and potential loss of client business, which can be a big problem. But the upside benefits are really enormous of doing data mapping correctly. We found that strong and planful data mapping across multiple source systems can power analytics that can generate tens of millions of dollars a year for firms based upon the insights from those analytics.
When should I start thinking about data mapping? For what kinds of projects?
So we kind of think about a few different categories. One of them is, I would call new vendor systems or vendor system upgrades. So firms are often kind of in the process of implementing new systems, such as installing CRM software or upgrading, for example, their practice management system or implementing new kind of knowledge management systems that might track skills and experience inventory or even document management systems, right? So in many cases, especially nowadays, these firms, are going to interface with each other. So if you're going to install a CRM system, you're going to want to be able to pull data elements from your billing and finance system potentially. You might want to integrate with external data sources. You might want to also integrate with potentially communications data sources. And so to do that effectively, you really will need to do and go through a proper data mapping exercise and really think about how those systems kind of connect to each other. Another kind of example project is, we call firm mergers or combinations, right? So when firms, combine or merge or acquire each other, they have to combine legacy systems from the two firms together, right? And so there's all kinds of challenges with that. Industry tagging, work types, the way clients are mapped to each other, the types of attributes that firms have collected about clients in the past may be very, very different to each other between the two firms. So there has to be kind of a harmonization around all of those data elements and figuring out how they are combined together into the new firm structure. As examples, like we've worked with firms that kind of following a merger had a lot of work to do around tagging, industry tagging for their particular types of clients, as well as industry tagging of kind of matters in the work that they do, right? And there's all kinds of intricacies around parent clients and mapping to subsidiary related clients and kind of how that tagging flows down. So mapping can be a sophisticated process that requires a lot of business thinking in terms of how we think about client relationships. The third piece. Third example is, what's more common nowadays, data warehousing and data lake projects, right? So now firms, in addition to just installing systems or combining systems, they are building full-blown data warehouses or data lakes to power all kinds of use cases of the future. And there's a lot of thinking around kind of aligning on the system of record, making sure that when we think about a client across 5 or 10 systems, that we're thinking about it in the same way. And just understanding what kinds of innovation initiatives and firm strategic decisions a firm might want to make based on these aggregated data sources that will benefit from a good mapping exercise, right? So that's kind of the third category of project I think about. And then the fourth category is really, specific analytics or AI use cases. So in some cases, firms aren't necessarily trying to build a data warehouse to be able to do everything. They're just focused on a specific use case. Like, for example, in a practice of law sense, you might want to tag, classify, and analyze documents for enterprise search, or to extract data from contracts, or maybe you're doing, e-discovery or litigation support, right? So that those specific types of tasks require specific types of data mapping that's not necessarily going to require you to map the whole, data infrastructure of the firm. On a business of law perspective, and this is kind of what Origami does, we perform client analytics, such as looking at, the factors that drive client health, understanding ideal client profiles. And understanding where client risk or opportunities lie, right? And sometimes only certain data elements are needed to create a lot of value. So as an example, we do a lot of work with integrating email data, email communications data with other sources like finance and billing and CRM data. And so we don't need all the information in the email to do that, right? We just need sort of pieces of data, who sent the email, when it was received, what are kind of the patterns of email activity to understand what's going on in a client relationship without actually storing all of the text or the attachments, right? So kind of the use case can often drive what's important for a data mapping exercise and sort of, focus down the scope of it a bit.
So, what are some of the concepts that I should keep in mind?
Well, some of the concepts that we like to sort of advocate for is number one, try to start small. So data mapping projects can seem very overwhelming in some cases, particularly when you're talking about mapping a huge system like a finance and billing system, for example, to some other data source, right? So you can start with just a subset of the data in a firm, demonstrate some success in terms of resourcing for a use case or for the ability to actually do the mapping successfully. And that can justify, kind of the future investment in a much more large scale initiative with more resources that a firm might invest into the process, right? So number one, start small. Number two, clear documentation is really important. So, when we think about the data mapping process, it's not just actually mapping the data and making the links in software or in the database world. It's about actually documenting the process, documenting the thinking around that, and being able to, have a traceable reference point so we can diagnose issues in the future if there come to be problems in terms of data quality in the future within the mapped systems, right? As well as compliance requirements, right? So documentation helps a lot. You know, if a firm was ever asked, you know, okay, can you explain why this AI model did what it did and made maybe a mistake that it made? We can go back and say, well, here's the data mapping that occurred. Here's how we created the training data set. Here's how the models were trained. And that was documented in our processes. So we have traceability. So documentation is super important for a lot of reasons. You know, we also, you know, another piece is we say standardization is very important. So that's kind of consistency in naming conventions and taxonomies that can actually be really, really difficult for firms, particularly, you know, when you think about firms merging together or you think about integrating systems or adding a new practice to a firm, figuring out how you categorize your work taxonomy, you know, to support future analytics and sort of data use cases, but also incorporate like what actually we had in terms of legacy taxonomies, that can be really hard. And so there's a lot of great work being done around this, you know, through the SALI Alliance and other groups, for example, that are able to actually sort of standardize how are we categorizing and classifying, you know, matter types, the type of work we do, the types of cases we do with clients, the type of clients there are, and sort of do that in a way that where we can actually automate the tagging now using Gen AI and LLM language models. So there's a lot of sort of exciting work in helping support standardization without firms having to embark on massive, massive standardization initiatives themselves. You know, we also really advocate for data validation. So, you know, there should be standard data validation checks, not just after the initial mapping, but on kind of a regular basis as data becomes upgraded, as new data becomes available. So this includes kind of validation checks in the database world and in the software world, but also having QA processes where actual people go and check and verify that data quality is correct, right? And this can be done in a variety of different contexts, but ultimately it's great to have, you know, sort of the end consumers of that data involved in that process to at least some extent. Another concept we talk a lot about is data governance. So, you know, implementing frameworks around policies, roles, and responsibilities. So this includes kind of the clear documentation part around sort of how is the data mapping happening and sort of how are we defining it technically, but also sort of what are the business processes all around that and the ongoing maintenance and potential changes to your data mapping framework in the future. So if suddenly there's a new work type or a new client attribute or a new industry or a new kind of system that we want to integrate, how do we go and add new elements in the future to the data mapping schema that we created that took, you know, a lot of effort, right? And how do we go and be planful about future integration? So the way you consider a data mapping exercise, you might think about it differently, knowing that there's a huge initiative coming a year from now where you might be acquiring another firm or you might be integrating a big system into your firm's data infrastructure, right? So it's more than just a technical exercise. It actually touches quite a bit on kind of the firm strategy and the direction that firms are going in and sort of what their strategic goals are and plans are 12 or 24 months out into the future. You know, again, we like to say get the end consumers involved when you're thinking about data mapping exercises. It shouldn't just be an IT exercise. I'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, any data mapping exercise should have some inputs from the end consumers of the data system that you're kind of mapping into. And some thinking about use cases, right? It's not just about, we don't map data between systems for mapping's sake. We do it because it supports a use case and a business objective that might just be system migrations. It might be tightly integrating, you know, two firms together that have combined. It might be, you know, advanced analytics or generative AI kind of innovation projects, right? So we got to think about what are those kind of end objectives in terms of use cases we're developing and how can a mapping exercise today support those 12, you know, 24, 36 months into the future?
Well, who is best suited to do this? Who should, you know, who do you think should be involved?
Yeah, so what's funny about this is I think if you were to ask this question 10 or 15 years ago, you might have a very different answer. I feel like, you know, historically, the idea of mapping data between databases was something that, you know, the IT department did and network engineers who did database management of on-prem servers would be responsible for. Now it is a much more multidisciplinary and broader exercise that actually requires kind of a lot of creative input and thinking. It's not just about a database migration sort of task that you might think about from a IT network engineering perspective. In terms of its key roles, we think about first of all, leadership sponsors being in the mix, right? So when you're talking about doing a data mapping exercise, there should be some buy-in from the top levels of leadership of the firm. And I'm thinking, folks we work with are like directors of firm intelligence, directors of analytics, and even sort of the chief innovation officers, chief knowledge management officers, and even chief marketing and business development officers who, their job is to sort of set the firm up for success in terms of overall business and revenue performance, right? So we want those people involved because otherwise, if it's too junior, of an involvement, you might end up with a situation where, there's not enough resources put behind it to be successful. It fizzles out, and ultimately, it was kind of a wasted effort, right? Or there were not enough leaders in the room sharing sort of what is the strategic roadmap of the firm such that we can execute on this in the right way, such that it's successful, a year from now, for whatever our plans might be. So it's really important to keep leadership sponsors in the mix to do it right. We advocate for really strong project management capabilities. So this can't just be something that sits off the side of someone's desk who's busy doing legal work all day. It's got to actually be a person who's a dedicated project manager, particularly for large data mapping exercises, because they have to herd all of the cats and bring all the stakeholders into the room and kind of make sure that all this information is being aggregated in a smart way, but that also kind of achieves the goals of the timeline of the migration project. We often recommend that you bring in domain experts in source systems. So if you're going to be mapping from or to the finance and billing system or the CRM system or knowledge management, systems, it's really important to make sure that the system owners are in the room because those folks understand kind of the strengths and the limitations of these systems and where, we say the bodies are buried or where the skeletons are in the closet, right? Where there's parts of these systems where the data is very inaccurate or not usable, right? So we want those experts in the room who understand those specific types of areas such that we can properly execute on the project. IT specialists are important. We're going to need network engineers and sort of IT people that have database knowledge. Data, increasingly, firms are hiring data scientists and data engineers who kind of are producing analytics from this data. And so they have a huge hand in data transformation architectures and sort of what data would be useful for a particular use case. So those folks should weigh in as well. And then again, as I said before, which I like to bang a drum about, the end consumers of the data, whether it's partners, lawyers, knowledge management teams, marketing and BD professionals, those folks should have stakeholders in the room with a big data mapping initiative that affects them. And in terms of kind of best practices, I think a lot of firms are doing this in-house, right? They're building teams, they're building cross-disciplinary teams that involve knowledge management, data science, data engineering, and various stakeholders, both at the leadership level and at the partner level across different practice groups. And we think that's really, really great and really important. We do recognize that in many cases, firms are not always equipped to be able to do this themselves and build these capabilities in-house. And so for that, we do recommend that firms reach out to vendors to give them support on some of these activities, particularly kind of the blocking and tackling around how to go and set up a data mapping initiative in a way that really uses best practices and brings in expertise that they might not necessarily have in the firm. A lot of firms don't have a lot of cloud expertise, for example, being able, putting things into Azure. And understanding what all the tools are for data mapping, data pipelines, and data analytics broadly at a large scale, many firms lag in that compared to other industries. So it's good to bring in outside help to support that. Many firms use Microsoft technology stack. So Microsoft has a ton of resources to kind of help support data projects and data migration activities on the business intelligence side, on sort of the SQL database side, as well as their more advanced tools in Azure. And sort of data and AI, they're really leading the charge. So there's a lot of resources. Most firms are Microsoft customers, and they can, probably reach out to their rep and just get a bunch of resources and support for their projects. We also, recommend different types of vendors. So some firms might benefit from augmenting their data engineering teams with sort of outsourced staff that can do data engineering and data mapping tasks for them. There's companies like Expirate, which offers kind of a data engineering team augmentation. So you can hire them and have a dedicated team that supports you that has, huge expertise in legal. If you're looking at, advanced AI applications as an example, there's vendors like Hike2 that specialize in setting up data infrastructure to power kind of generative AI and advanced AI use cases. Increasingly, An exciting trend we've seen is that some vendors are creating products to support this. So, as an example, Integrata, which is run by Tom Baldwin, they offer a data lake, data warehouse product kind of as a service out of the box that you can basically set up in the cloud and integrate all of your data sources together to power all kinds of data reporting and analytics use cases. And then sometimes, it's helpful to go to vendors themselves that focus on specific use cases. So, just as an example, for us, Orgami, when we do an Orgami implementation, we can hook into data warehouses that have already been perfectly mapped, and that's great. We can also help with data mapping activities ourselves as part of the implementation. So we often kind of start with source systems, and we'll help firms integrate those together in a way that kind of supports the use cases that we're going to be doing. And so sometimes with hiring vendors to do the data mapping that's use case specific, they really know exactly what systems and what elements they would want to use that would drive kind of a ton of value. And they know what they might not want to use, so they can sort of focus the scope, in a way that's most efficient, I think, in terms of a firm's resource costs and spend. So there's a variety of different ways that the firms can kind of, augment their capabilities in terms of using vendors or building teams in-house. And it really depends on kind of what their firm strategy is and what their near-term goals are.
Well, that's all very, very useful information. Thank you. I'd like to thank our speaker, Paul Gudritis, for joining us today and for his time. I hope those who will be tuning in to view this session later will find great value. Please tune in to the next KM and Marketing podcast coming up on May 9th, entitled Cracking the Code: Understanding and Applying the New LMA Body of Knowledge in Legal Marketing.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Really appreciate it. Take
Thanks,
care.
Paul.